Hi there, thanks for joining us on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by those fine fellows and even finer judges, Tom Collins and David Jennings, to look ahead to a fabulous weekend of jumps racing. This really is one of the highlights of the year. You've got the Ladbroke Trophy at Newmarket, Newbury even. You've got the Fighting Fifth up at Newcastle. And then on Sunday over in Ferry House, three grade ones with some star names, including the magnificent Honeysuckle. So, loads to enjoy. As far as enjoying the action from your armchair goes, ITV3 starts off and then you flip over to the main channel. So I'm sure Ed Chamberlain and co will tell you when. We'll do the five races at Newbury first, and we'll start off with 1:15 on Saturday. 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs is the trip for the Sir Peter O'Sullivan Memorial Handicap Chase. And it's a test we've had small fields for so long, it's hard to get your head around the fact there's a double figure field, but there's 13 runners go to post for this one. Best prices, shop around as always, are 6-1 Damned the Company, 6-1 Kaluki, 6-1 Cap Course, 6-1 Killer Crown, Killer Clown even, blimey, this is open, 8-1 Quarter of the King, 9-1 Sompture, 10-1 Grand Sea, 12-1 Bar. Each way wise, I can see that Skybet are giving you 5 places, William Hill and Betfair giving you 4 places. So again, you're not just shopping around for the best odds, you're shopping around for the best place terms as well. DJ, how are you, old bean?
I'm very good, Bruce. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's always a classic, isn't it? My favourite Hennessy memory is probably Denman's first one. I still think it's one of the greatest, most destructive displays I've ever seen. I absolutely love that. What about you? When you think of the Hennessy or the Ladbroke, which performance comes to mind?
Oh, sure, there's so many, Bruce. I suppose Denman is the one horse that you kind of really do associate with the race. But I remember absolutely being mad on What a Friend the time he ran against Denman. And coming into last, I thought Sam Thomas had him covered. And it still amazes me how a horse can go into a fence, possibly a half a length behind, and actually come out of it 3 lengths behind. That leap from Denman at the last was unbelievable. And I'd watch it every day of the week if I could.
Yes, indeed. Right then, the 1:15 at Newbury win is won by...
Oh, this is tricky. I hate starting with a side, but this is... I was actually hoping you'd start with the main race because I have a strong fancy in the Ladbrokes Trophy. I've sided with Killer Clown here, second run after Windup, and I just thought he really did need the run at Aintree behind All Mankind in that old run. He travelled quite well into the home straight, I thought, and then got really tired. Still, he was only beating a dozen lengths in the end. I still think he's well handicapped off 1.38. He went up to 1.41 last season when he was second on Brigado over this course and distance. And his cheek piece is on this time as well. And just in the last couple of days, I thought Emma LaBelle's horses were starting to run a little bit better as well. So off 1.38, I'm going to give Killer Clown a chance. But it's a tentative vote, Bruce.
Jolly good, TC. You live very close to Newbury. Are you going to pop along tomorrow?
I'm not. I'm on RP Live tomorrow, Bruce. I'm looking forward looking forward to watching all the coverage along with Dave Orton in the studio.
Splendid. And who do you think will be winning the first at Newbury on TV?
Well, it's an extremely difficult race. Arguably the toughest punting race of the day, I think. It's just that I know there are many tricky puzzles on Saturday, but God, this is so difficult. It'd be great if one of the horses in Sir Peter O'Sullivan's Silks does win the race. I think Capcord and Damned the Company, you both have a good chance, but I'm with DJ. I think Killer Clown's the most likely winner. I like the second time up after a wind up angle. First time cheap pieces go on, which may spark further improvement. Good ground clearly suits. However, I do think there are better punting opportunities on the rest of the day. So I will be leaving this personally. I just think Killer Clown's the most likely winner.
Two fairly tentative votes to open up with for Killer Clown. By the way, on the ground front, there's a potentially a bit of snow forecast. It's going to be very, very chilly. We know that. But I'm not expecting enough precipitation, either water or snow, to really affect the ground. I think good to soft is probably what it's going to be. And that roughly goes for what we've got further north as well, I think. OK, let's move on to the 1:50 at Newbury on Saturday. 2.5 miles for the Get Your Ladbrokes £1 free bet today. Handicap hurdle, and Lecal's article is Fav at 7-2. Then it's 11-2 Masters Legacy, 13-2 Calva Dorge, 8-1 Glory and Fame, 9-1 Good Old Chitabello, good to see him back, 9-1 Earl of the Cotswolds, 12-1 Bar. Paddy Power and William Hill are offering an extra place. They'll pay out each way on 4. Okay, if you were unsure about the first one, TC, are you any more confident here?
No, but I do think this is a better punting opportunity, mainly because you can make a stronger case for a few of these. I think the prolific Calvados is probably the most solid option in the race. He's kind of built for this race, actually. It tends to go to speed horses. He should always be in the vanguard. He's prolific, represents the informed Paul Nichols. The one thing that puts me off him, and I wouldn't say it necessarily makes me think he won't win the race, but at the prices I'd want to be opposing, it's just his rapid rise up the handicap. However, I do think he's the most solid option. I will be punting one at a big price, or a double-figure price, hopefully, which will be Chitabello. Now, I know he's a 10-year-old, and he's given weight away to his younger rivals. He also hasn't won since the county hurdle in March 2019. But despite all of that, I think this could be the time to find Chitabello. Look, he goes extremely well fresh. His record, his form figures after a break of 50 days or longer read 1-5-2, 4-5, 1-3-3-2. He's extremely consistent, never finished outside the top five on his reappearance. He's also kept very good company throughout that time, throughout his career as well. So he's been running in better races than this. He's never run to an RPR lower than 1.44 on his reappearance run, which I think is another key point. He's running off a mark of 1.47. If he runs to that mark, he's going to be in the frame. Dan Skelton always has his horses ready first time up. There is no fitness doubts there. So if he drifts out to around 10, 12 to 1, I think Chitabello is a decent each way play here.
He's one of those horses, Tom, isn't he, who falls into that you'd love to own him category, isn't he?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he always produces. He's won four times. He's placed a further 13 times in his career. He's just been a brilliant hurdler throughout his career. And yeah, if you were part of the can't say no partnership you do on Chitabello, then you're never going to find another one like him.
Certainly not. DJ, who's your selection going to be?
Oh, I like one in here, Bruce. One in here. Yeah. I'm very surprised, actually, Tom hasn't tipped it because I was hoping I'd be able to go first here. This Master's Legacy will win. I think he'll win. He's 11-2 best price at the moment. I think he'll go off favourite. I can see him going off about 11-4, 3-1. This horse is absolutely crying out for 2.5 miles. Lord, holy God. I don't know if you saw it win at Chepstow back in October. It won a very competitive handicap hurdle, but it traded 299-1 in running. And the only surprise there is that it wasn't 999 in running, because it looked as if at one stage Tom O'Brien had actually kind of given up and was going to cuddle him home. And then he kind of just got a run after the second last. And the way he finished out the race just screamed to you, flat track, 2.5 miles, perfect. And I immediately thought of this race afterwards. He's only got up 2 pounds. He's got away with a 2 pound rise, even though he won the race. Like, All Mankind was third that day, and All Mankind came out and won the Old Rowan Chase. It was a good race, I thought. And I've just been really waiting for Master's Legacy to come out and run over 2.5 miles. Philip Hobbs won this race with a similar type of horse and One Fits All in 2016. And this horse is really likely race. But like that form when he beat Polish, whatever way you want to pronounce it, at Taunton last year, that's worked out really well. Like that was a real good run. And it screamed to me that he's probably at least a mid-140s type of horse. He's running off 1.34 here. I'd be disappointed if he doesn't win, Bruce. And I'd advise listeners to take the 11-2.
Lovely. That's a very, very compelling case. I must say, though, DJ, as we speak, there's a race at Newbury called the Ladbrokes Committed to Safer Gambling Novices Chase. Although DJ says he will win, there's no such thing as a certainty. So please don't remortgage the house.
But the takeout
from that very cogent argument is that DJ is very confident about Master's Legacy. Tom is going for Chitabello. Thank you very much, gents. Let's move on to the 225 at Newbury. And it's also the Ladbrokes Committed to Safer Gambling. It's an intermediate hurdle this time. It's a listed race over 2.5 miles a furlong. Just the four runners, but we've got an odds against Fav in Soaring Glory for the John Joe combination. Gowell Road, good winner last time. He was 100-30. Captain Morgs, 4-1. He won well last time as well. And so did One More for the Road, who's 11-2. So it's only four runners, DJ, but it's not an absolute penalty kick for the Fav, this is it?
I think he'll win. It's a disappointing turnout, but I suppose that the kind of four horses that you did want to show up, apart from Metier maybe, have showed up. And they've all got decent chance in their own right. But you just kind of say to yourself, I always regard this race. Epitome won it in 2019, Lammy Surge 2014, Rockin' Ruby 2011. It's always a race for a horse that you think possibly could potentially make the step up to be a champion hurdle contender. I'm not quite sure Soaring Glory is up to that level, but I did like what he did at Ascot. I don't think we saw the real Soaring Glory in the Supreme at Cheltenham. He just didn't look happy. He was a massive drifter on the day, if you remember. He's running off, like, he's rated 149 now. I'd be surprised if they don't think he's a good bit better than that. And yeah, like, to be honest, if you're getting 11 to 10 about Soaring Glory, I've seen worse 11 to 10 shots.
Okay, one vote for the Fab. Is it two votes for the Fab, Tomasina?
Yes, two votes. I think Soaring Glory is the first leg of a double, probably, short price favourites that we're going to cover on this podcast. He's undoubtedly a graded hurdler. He wasn't beaten far by the likes of Dusart, My Drogo last year, bolted up in the Betfair hurdle when I really fancied him for mark 133. But I deserted him on a seasonal reappearance. He proved me wrong, travelled beautifully throughout that race. Just all-round impressive victory at Ascot. But I think in this race, not only is he the best horse, but he's going to be suited by the way the race pans out. Gale Road, I was at Cheltenham when he won the other day. He benefits from a fast, early pace. He's kind of a grinder rather than a quickener. And One for the Road also has performed better in bigger fields with end-to-end gallops. Captain Morgs, I thought he looked beaten the other day until his rival made a mistake at the last. I think he also needs a pace to run at. So Soaring Glory, I do think it's a penalty kick for him here.
Jolly good. Thank you very much, gents. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock. It's the big race. The Ladbrokes Trophy, formerly known as the Hennessy. That is not to take the gloss off Ladbrokes sponsorship, but just so that some people can reference it as one of the great handicap chases of the season. 3 mile, 2 furlongs the trip. As always, ultra competitive. Eclat de Rire for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore is favourite around about 5 to 1. Actually, joint fev now, because On the Ropes from Willie Mullins' yard is also 5 to 1. 6 to 1, the Rejuvenated Fiddler on the Roof. 13 to 2, Enrillo. 12 to 1, Cloth Cap and Kitty's Light. 14 bar, Extra Place News. As things stand, Sky Bet and William Hill, 7 places. Ladbrokes and Paddy Power, 6, as are Betfair. So loads and loads of extra places. We've got 21 runners. You're going to need all the extra places you can get, I suspect. And Tom Collins is going to go first.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this race. There's a lot of good horses in here, as there always is in the Ladbrokes Trophy. I am scared of Eclat de Rire, and especially On the Ropes for trainer Willie Mullins, who won this race in 2017 with Total Recall. I imagine DJ is going to put up one of those two, maybe not. But my selection is going to be Enrillo. Now, I generally don't take much interest in what trainers say about their horses, not because they don't know anything, but I just prefer to use my own judgment. But I love Paul Nicholls' quote in the RP Stable Tour about Enrillo. And I quote, this is what he said. I didn't have him at his best in the Bet365 Gold Cup, which I personally thought was extremely interesting given he won that race before being demoted. And then he followed it by saying, he's rated 147 and it's silly winning a race before going to the Ladbrokes Trophy and giving him an even harder task. Now, even harder task suggests that he thinks it's going to be a really competitive race. But what I derive from that is the fact he thinks he's extremely well handicapped. And I completely agree. I love that this has been his target since the spring. The form book backs up his case. 4 of his 6 career victories have been achieved on his first run after a layoff. He has course winning form in the book already. He has assured stamina. He won over 3 mile 5 in the Bet365 Gold Cup. So 3 mile 2 will be no problem. I think Enrillo ticks all the boxes. I'm really strong on him on his first run of the season. Yes, I am worried about On the Ropes, but I think his inexperience may catch him out. It's Enrillo for me, Bruce.
Thank you, Tom. Well, Tom predicts that DJ will go for one of the Irish horses at the head of the market. Is he right, DJ?
Well, Tom Collins has just backed his first loser of the weekend, Bruce.
Hopefully the only one, DJ.
Good start. Good start to the weekend. No, look, I've been going through this race all week and I can see why Eclair de Rire, I can see why people might fancy On the Ropes. They're both unexposed second season novices who do have plenty going for them. And I can see Tom's case for Enrillo. But I just think Fiddler on the Roof is the best handicapped horse in the race. And he's one of these horses, Bruce, that it's ingrained in your mind that he's disappointing. He's disappointing. He hasn't lived up to expectations. I think a lot of people listening to this would say, oh, Fiddler on the Roof. Sure, he's not going to win that. Like, he's a disappointing horse. Am I right, boys?
Well, you're absolutely right. Because I backed it up by saying, you know, when I was going through the bet and I called him the Rejuvenated Fiddler on the Roof. And then I thought, hang on a sec. I mean, I know he hasn't won lots last season, but if you actually look at the company he's keeping, I mean, it's not like he's absolutely lost his form like Deffy did for that season, you know? So I think you're absolutely right there, DJ.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, since he won the Tallworth at Sandown, that was obviously a grade one race. He started 6 to 1 for the Supreme that Shishkin won. Like, he's only had 8 starts over fences. He's won 2 of them. finished second in five of them and been third in the other one. So he's never actually been out of the first three over fences. And when you go back to the form, like, he was second in what was formerly the RSA, the Brown Advisory, second to Monkfish, and 11 lengths clear to Big Breakaway, Stable Companion third. There was 41 lengths back to the Dickey Diver and fourth. Like, it was a pretty strong run, which earned him an RPR of 158, okay? The time before that, he was second to Next Destination at Warwick. Again, Next Destination backed up that form in the National Hunt Chase. And he was doing all this when Tizard's horses were out of form. Like, they weren't really sparked, and he wasn't having the strike rate he has had in other seasons. They just weren't running that well. They weren't that well in themselves, and he was still running his races. I thought last time at Carlisle in that Colin Parker Memorial, which was a really, really good time, he beat Pay the Piper, Esport de Rame, and Silver Hallmark. And I thought, to me, it just looked like it was a prep run for this race. And I'd say they were kind of surprised that he won. He was 7-2. And Pay the Piper, I thought, ran okay against Brave Man's Game the other day. But he's run off 150 here. And my kind of reflex was to kind of say, God, he must be up near 160. He's not. He's 150 horse. I think this trip at Newbury, 3 mile 2 at Newbury, I still think he's unexposed over this trip on a flat track. And to me, he's had the perfect preparation for the race. I do think he's well handicapped. I think he's got a lot going for him, Bruce. And I think Fiddler on the Roof is the most likely winner.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. You mentioned Shishkin. So let's have the Shishkin conversation. Your views, please, gentlemen, on the Mighty Beast's defection from next weekend's big race at the Tingle Creek at Sandown. You can go first, Tom. Are you with Hendo, or are you snarling and seething about it?
Neither. I think I'm in the middle. It's disappointing, isn't it? Especially if you were going to go to the track. Look, you should get these horses out for punters to see. Now, if he's all well in himself, and if he's 95% and not 100%, I know Nicky Henderson said he's just not ready, but I mean, come on. Like, this is a season of reappearance. This is early season target for all chasers in this division. You have to run him there. Okay, if he has an issue, then that's completely different. Dan Skelton took one out the other day because he was lame, and I know that's been, there's a case made about that on Twitter. But there's no injury for Shishkin that we know of. He's just not 100% ready. I think he'd even win this race 70% ready. I think he should be running.
What say you, DJ?
I completely disagree. Couldn't disagree more. I was over in Seven Barrows 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. You're his mate now. Here we go. He's gone native, Tom. He's gone native. No. Oh, me and Nicky, we're like that now. So, no, he's absolutely right. Come on. Come on, crawler.
well, look... I just think it's the situation we're in at the moment. I think the fallout from this has been farcical. I really do. Like, Henderson is the go-to man now for blaming British jump races. It's Nicky's fault. He's not running the horse.
But do you not think that's because he's got previous with it, with Altior and whatnot?
It's absolutely. Of course he has. He has with Altior. But I'm just saying, on this specific situation, okay, he has got a horse here who he wanted to run in the Tinker Creek. And people are thinking, oh, he's not running because Shaq and Persuad might come over and this is the reason he's not running. I don't believe that. I think his string, to get Shishkin ready for the Tinker Creek, I think he did need to get good pieces of work into him on grass. None of his horses have been on grass because he's got no rain. It's the same with Willie. It's the same. If you look at Willie's runners recently, he's had nothing. Albin Foto was supposed to run at Thurles on Thursday. He didn't run because the rain hasn't arrived. Look at Willie's runners at Fairy House on Sunday. None of the horses Willie is running at Fairy House on Sunday are going to be in any sort of contention at Cheltenham. It's just the way it is with the weather at the moment. And I think Nicky is getting all this blame because of the previous with Altior. But the fact of the matter is that Shishkin, I'd say, is nowhere near ready to run the Tinker Creek. He's got, obviously, another 3 weeks until the Desert Orchid. And I think he's hoping the rain will come and he'll get to work him on grass. But for us to say he's not running them just because Shaq or Persuad might be coming over, I think that's ridiculous.
Okay, fair enough. My take is that racing fans are very disappointed. This is happening again, as it did with Altior. Don't blame racing fans for expressing an opinion. They're disappointed. They want to see these races. They want to see these heats take up. If you look at the fields at Fairy House on Sunday, there's quality and quantity.
Yes,
we're absolutely starved of that over here, DJ.
Okay,
and we need to sort it out.
Bruce, that is not Nicky Henderson's fault. That's the British jump racing program's fault. It's not Nicky Henderson's fault.
And if Nicky Henderson had his way, he'd have to. He said we need more of those silly Chantry House races at Sandown. No, we don't. Of course, we don't. If you left Nicky Henderson loose on the programme book, that's what we'd have all the time.
No, that's not my point. My point is, of course, he shouldn't have had any say in the programme. what I'm saying is the program is there, and he is running these horses in the races that he thinks he can get the horses to Cheltenham in the best form in, okay? And that's obviously the problem, that Cheltenham shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. It shouldn't be. Of course it shouldn't be. Every race should mean as much as Cheltenham does, but it doesn't. It just doesn't. Owners want to have winners at Cheltenham. If I had 100 grand in the bank, I would give 100 grand to Gordon Elliott or Willie Mullins or Henry de Bromhead. I'd say, buy me a Cheltenham Festival winner. It's just the way it is. And unfortunately, until that changes, that's just it.
Okay, so we'll run Cheltenham and then scrap all the other races.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It sounds like, well, that's what you're saying.
No, anyway, it's not what I'm saying. It's not.
We're going to move on. We're going to move on. Racing fans are disappointed. They're allowed to express their disappointment. And we do not want other trainers... And we do not want other trainers trotting out this ludicrous how many winners have you trained line. Because if football managers said how many football teams have you managed or anything along those lines, then interest in sport would dry up and we'd all be done for.
Can I just make one final point very quickly?
Of course you can.
One final point, okay? This is not like a Premier League match on a Saturday where Liverpool were playing Arsenal last Saturday and that game is on next Saturday. When Nicky Henderson is saying that Shishkin... his aim is to Tinkle Creek. That does not mean 100% certain that he will run Tinkle Creek. That's the race he's hoping to run him in. It was the same with Albion Photo running at Turles on Thursday. That was the race that Willie Mullins wanted to run him in to get an extra race into him compared to other seasons. It's not cut and dried that these aims are going to be exactly where the horses turn up. If they have setbacks, like rain not arriving, like Shishkin not being ready enough to run the race, They're horses. They're not humans. Like.
I don't remember him saying I haven't been able to work him on grass. He just said he's 95% certain. How do you know 95% certain? What's 90%? What's 85%? I mean, come on. Yeah, exactly. These things can't talk. I want to move on from this. Okay, let's move on to the 3:35 at Newbury. It's the 2.5 mile watch racing free online at Ladbrokes handicap chase for the Jim Joel Memorial Trophy, and it's another wide open one. This is a hell of a punting card. This Grey Diamond is fav. At 5-1 for the Twister team. And then it's Il Ridotto at 11-2. 6-1 Eclair Danae. 6-1 Frere Bambou. Blimey, O'Reilly. I'd have gone to a French lesson if I'd known this. 13-2 Sully Dot Data. 10-1 Gumble. Thank goodness for an easier one to pronounce. 11-1 Elusive Bell. 11-1 Numitor. And 14 Bar David Jenny.
You know who you needed for this one, Bruce? You need a Juki.
Ah, Juki, that gorgeous French accent of his. Yes, indeed. So seductive. He's like David Ginola on I'm a Celebrity, isn't he? Right, solve the mystery of who's going to win this, please, DJ.
Oh, what a man David Ginola is. Frero Bambou, Bruce. I thought he badly needed to run at Ascot. It was his first run since April. I thought he actually blew up halfway and then kind of stayed on again up the home straight. He's up 133 now. He's been dropped £2. I do think he's well handicapped. I think Newbury will suit his running style. And I think 6-1 is more than fair.
Thank you very much. Thomas.
Frero Bambou was the last one off my shortlist, but the selection is going to be Elusive Bell. Hopefully Nicky Henderson has this horse ready first time up. I don't think I've ever backed a horse ridden and won by Sam Whaley-Cohen, but hopefully that streak is about to end. I didn't even back the great long run. Elusive Bell finished... third at this meeting in 2019 behind Epiton in a really good performance off a mark of 1.34. That gives me plenty of hope that she can fly her first time up this year. Her best run in the interim in the last 2 years was a 4-length victory at this track at this meeting last year. I think this has probably been the plan, unlike Shishkin, for a long period of time. I think she's well handicapped off 1.36.
I want Elusive Bell to win this for the following reason. At around about 3:45 on Saturday afternoon, Hendo, if he does win, will have a racing TV microphone thrust in front of him to ask him questions about Elusive Bell's victory. And then whoever's doing the interview is going to say, and what about Shishkin? What have you made of the fallout of it? And then the blue touch paper will be lit and hopefully Hendo will give some very, very interesting quotes. Right then, that was Newbury. We're going to go up to Newcastle next.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and David Jennings. We've done Newbury. Now we're going to go up to Newcastle for their three ITV races. Going to start with the 130, the Betfair Daily Rewards Novice Limited Handicap Chase over very nearly 3 miles, four runners. But as with our earlier four-runner race at Newbury, the fav is odds against currently, and that is Valares for the double green, 11-10. Cooper's Cross is 7-2. Tupelo, Mississippi, 11-2. And the outsider, as things stand, is Winds of Fire. Tom, fire away.
Yeah, well, I mentioned Soaring Glory at Newbury was the first leg of a short price double that we were going to be covering. I think the second leg is here, Valares. He's got three rivals in here. Winds of Fire fell at the first on chase debut. Tupelo, Mississippi got beaten a two-runner race at 1-5. And Cooper's Cross got up in the final strides in a much weaker race at Sedgefield. Yes, could be well handicapped, but I just don't think has the class of Valares. I think he's extremely difficult to oppose. He raced against several talented sorts in his young career, travelled really nicely on his chase debut at Newbury last month. I'm confident that he can give his rivals weight and a beating in here.
Okay, do you endorse that across the card double, DJ?
Absolutely, yeah. He lost a shoe as well at Newbury, which I thought might have played a part in it. And when you look at the rivals, like Tupelo, Mississippi is as slow as I am. Like he is, I know it's 2 miles 7 and 91 yards, but he doesn't do anything in a hurry. And the other two have serious question marks over them as well. I'd say this will go off odds on.
Let's go up to the 205 at Newcastle now. It's the, again, nearly 3 miles a trip. Betfair Exchange Rehearsal Handicap Chase. Who won this last year, chaps?
York Hill.
Yes, he did. 66-1. One of the maddest, nicest things I've seen in many a year. The Ferrymaster, trained by Sandy Thompson, 4-1 fav. I Write, 11-2. Spirit of the Games, 13-2. Cool Mix and Dingo Dollar and Glenn Forcer and Good Boy Bobby are all 9-1. It's 14's bar. You can get 5 places with Skybet, 4 with Betfair, Paddy Power and William Hill. David Jennings, you can start us off here.
Yeah, that was mad, York Hill. He was the most brilliantly behaved boy that afternoon. He made the run and everything. He was unbelievable. I like Spirit of the Games, Bruce, here for Dan Skelton and Bridget Andrews. On his best form, he is well handicapped. And I thought last time at Cheltenham, in the Paddy Power, I actually thought he ran okay.
I backed him. I needed him to be in the top 7. It was just never quite getting there. He takes so long to get into that final gear. And then he stayed on and got a beat about a length and a half for 7th. He finished 9th and you kind of think, oh, well, fair enough. But you think the extra trip here will do.
And you know what? Just had insult to injury. You would have got paid if you didn't make a mistake at the third last. I thought that knocked the stuffing out of him a little bit. But I just go back to that run behind happy-go-lucky and Aintree. That competitive Betway handicap chase at the Grand National meeting, like that was a really good run. I thought that was a strong race. Like Calypso Colones, who was 4th, has come out in 1 since. And I thought that was a real good run because he didn't jump that well. That was off 1.44. So he's down £3 from that. I'd imagine this has been kind of, you know, Paddy Power then stepping back up to this sort of trip. I wouldn't put you off going back in again in Spirit of the Games, Bruce.
Okay, I will do that. Tom, can you talk me out of that?
No, not necessarily. I think he's a decent price, but I won't be betting myself. DJ's made a good case for Fiddler on the Roof in the Ladbrokes Trophy and one horse that finished behind him in the Colin Parker. Informateur is my selection here. I'm not known for my French pronunciation, as you can tell. He was stuffed 65 lengths by Fiddler on the Roof in that Colin Parker, but that was just a far too good a race for Informateur to even be running in. Obviously, Fiddler on the Roof has won a grade one. Ahoy Senor, who's also won a grade one, was in the race. It was just a very strong race, and Informateur probably needed a run 27 days ago. That came off a long 221-day absence. I think he's better suited by a longer trip as well, which he gets here. And his record, second time up, reads 1-1-1. I think he's going to be primed for this race. Tommy Wilmot takes £5 off. Leaves him on an attractive mark, and I think he's well worth an each way pop around 18-1.
Splendid. Right then, it's the 3:15 next. It's the big race on the card. The Betfair Fighting Fifth Hurdle, 2 mile grade one. Epitant won this last year, and you thought, there you go, she's going to go ahead and win the champion hurdle as she likes. And it all went wrong from there. She's 6-5 favourite to regain the winning thread 12 months on. Mon Miral for the Nichols camp, unbeaten in 5, 11-4, second favourite. Lovely Old So Royal is 4-1. Silver Streak, 8s, 20-1, Not So Sleepy, who veered and crashed out of this at the first last year. And the outsider, Voix de Rêve, looking to snipe a little bit of place money is 150. Tom, can Epitant bounce back?
She can. She won this race really impressively last year. She just flew past Sir Royale after the last when that camera angle zoomed right in on her. However, she's just been a bit disappointing on her three subsequent starts, I thought. Obviously, if she reproduces...
I think that's an understatement.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, correct. She got beat by Honeysuckle, finished third twice. Her jumping was poor. You're right, I did undersell that. She's been very disappointing on the last three runs, given what we expect from her. I think if she reproduces her effort last year when she beat Sir Royale, she'll win. But I don't want to take that chance at a short price, especially with her jumping. I'm going to play Mon Morale here to beat his elders, the four-year-old in the race. I think he could prove to be the best horse in the race. Now, I know Epitant sets a high standard, but Mon Morale has promised plenty. He smashed Adagio last year. He proved that he's potentially a grade one horse when finishing second in the Greatwood. He also smashed Nassalam, who just won at Newbury and also won on his seasonal reappearance as well. I just think Mon Morale could be pretty exceptional, and I want to take the chance that he beats his elders.
Thank you, Tom. DJ, what do you make of this one?
No, I think Epitant will win.
Your old knocker.
Yeah, my old buddy, old pal. Yeah. Didn't feel like that when I arrived there, let me tell you.
Tell us more. That's intriguing.
Oh, no, I was there really early. Like, I was there 6:30, like, and I walked in and I got a kind of a grunt, kind of like, it was like, can you imagine, or like, in fairness, like, a Racing Post journalist from Ireland who was extremely annoying coming into your office, like, at this hour of the morning. Like,
what time were you meant to be there?
Oh, yeah, that time. Yeah, I was going for first slot, like, so
right.
I was there early. But, like, he warms up as the day went on.
Did
so,
you
like,
part the best of mates?
I wouldn't say best of mates, but, we got on grand by the end. Yeah, he was fine.
Good.
Yeah, no, it was a very enjoyable day. But, yeah, I saw Epitant work that day. She worked with Buzz, and she worked better than Buzz, and she looked really sweet. Like, I just thought she looked well, and I thought she... The key thing is, like Tom said, she's been very disappointing last season, but I think she had serious back problems last season. Nicky Henderson said in the stable to her she had a full MOT, and they have sorted out the back issues, and I think that's key. I think her jumping, she needs to be in peak physical condition to jump the way she does, because she's so low and neat and accurate. And I think when her jumping is right, she's right. So I think she's had back problems. We saw her head going up into the air a little bit last year. I think they hopefully are sorted now, and she's just got the most ability in this race. And I know you're taking a chance that she's back to herself, but, you know, odds against 6-5 about her hopefully being back to her best, I think that's more than fair.
All right, then. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That is the TV stuff done. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday, as well as the undercards at Newbury and Newcastle. We've got Doncaster, Bangor, Wolverhampton, and in Ireland, we've got Fairy House. You never know, TC, our US expert, might even have sussed one stateside. Don't give the naps away. Who should we be backing, Tom?
Two. One in the US and one in the UK. I'll start with the UK one. The horse is called Seen Not Heard in the 12:20 at Newcastle. Few horses make such a seamless transition to chasing as Seen Not Heard has done. Obviously, he had prior experience in points, which undoubtedly helped him learn how to negotiate fences and whatnot, but he was just so impressive at Hereford earlier this month. He won by 9 lengths. It could have been 19 lengths. I think he'll follow up off £7 higher. And the US selection is Zoffarelli. Now, you're going to get a big price about this horse. In the 12:30 a.m. race at Del Mar, might be in the Sunday markets with some bookmakers. Other bookmakers will still have this race in the Saturday markets. This is the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, a really good race, chocks full of talent. Zoffarelli's around 20-1 on the morning line. Used to be with Rafe Beckett over here. Won one race, finished second.
I thought he rang
occasions.
A bell.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. He won a maiden over here and finished second on 5 other starts. But that's not due to his mentality. It's just the fact he bumped into one on each occasion. He's run in the US 3 times, bolted up on his debut at Del Mar. 2 subsequent efforts being given arguably the worst ride on each occasion I've ever seen, both from Drayden Van Dyke, who's actually generally pretty good. And he takes the ride again. If the pace collapses, I think Zoffarelli's got a great each-way chance at 20-1 in the 12:30 a.m. race at Del Mar.
Okay, DJ's notorious for having his thunder stolen on the postcast. If he really fancies one, he always tends to be going second when someone else tips it. But I don't suppose you're going to be putting up Zoffarelli, are you, DJ?
Oh, I can't believe it, Bruce. No, I've certainly never heard of Zoffarelli. I don't even.
What have you got for us, my friend?
first show in the 12:55 at Newcastle, Mr. Glass has been put in odds against. If Mr. Glass is odds against, I'd be hugely surprised come the off. This is a really, really good horse, I think, Mr. Glass. And you know what? He's deceptive because he's not a behind the bridle traveller. Like he finds plenty of it. And I don't think they've got to the bottom of him yet. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if Mr. Glass turned into an Albert Barkley contender. So if
do you think that 11 to 10 will get smashed, do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you get it?
Very good. Thank you. 12. Yeah, that is very good. In the 12:55, Mr. Glass. Yeah, I think he'll win. And then a couple of Fairy House. One horse that will be a bigger price than he should be, and I think he's got a massive chance, is Lieutenant Command in the opener, which is very early. It's at 11:30. Now, form figures of 6.4099 would certainly put you off. But this horse didn't achieve what I thought he would achieve over hurdles. But there were reasons for that. I think he will make a much better chaser. Noel Mead has a good record in this race. He often runs a good one in it. And he actually was in the process of running a big race in the point when he fell. So I thought Lieutenant Command had a chance in the 11:30 and he could be a double figure price. And then later on in the card, in the 12:30, I think that Unaccepted, now could be the time to catch Unaccepted. I think he's got a big chance for Mark Walsh and Willie Mullins. He's very unpredictable, but he does go well fresh. Now for 1:48, I think he's got a chance if he's ready to do himself justice. And just one other one, Bruce, in the 2:11. Handicap hurdle at Fairy Hills over 2.5 miles. Broomfields Jeremy, I think for Philip and Luke Dempsey off 1:26 has got a massive chance. That's a 2:11 at Fairy Hills. Broomfields Jeremy.
Thank you, gents. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with David Jennings.
Yeah, Bruce, I'm going to Newbury to the 1:50 at Newbury, and I will go for Master's Legacy.
And Tom?
What better race to Napping than the Ladbrokes Trophy, 3 o'clock Newbury in Rillo.
Beautiful. Thank you, gents. Some great Sunday stuff to look ahead to next.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Chez Roux restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app today. And on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post weekend postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Tom Collins are looking ahead to a tremendous card at Fairy House on Sunday. There's three grade ones and we'll start with the first. It's the 105. Eight runners go to post for the bar1racing.com Royal Bond Novice Hurdle, where the fav is My Mate Mozzie, who's very prominent in the Supreme betting. You can get 2-1 as we speak, 3-1 Mighty Potter, 6-1 Three Stripe Life, 7-1 Impervious, and 14-1 Bar. DJ, will you be at Fairy House on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, and they're both days, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, looking forward
to it. Should be good, shouldn't it? Are you good at wrapping up? Do you have like a massive warm coat? Because it's going to be very chilly this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a coat for Christmas last year, kind of a grey one that's nice enough. I usually wear that with a scarf.
Right, okay. And who will you be? I mean, I worry about you, DJ, because, you know,
I've plenty of skin to look after me. Anyway.
But when I've been to the Irish press boxes in the past, you get people like Big Justy, and they look like they're trying to win the world strip poker competition. They've got about 38 layers, haven't they? And I've seen you in the past in just a little jacket, freezing your whatever's off. And but you've realised now, have you, to dress?
Yeah, I think they call yourself that experience. Yeah, I think I've learned from my mistakes. Yeah, I have.
Okay,
yeah,
no, will my mate Mozzie win this?
No. He'd actually be my kind of Bismarck on the day. I think he's good, and I think he is a really good jumper, especially going right-handed. But the betting is all wrong here. And if this is out in time and listeners can still get the 6-1 three-stripe life with Paddy Power and Betfair, just take it, because 6-1 is not just double the price he should be. It's probably treble the price he should be. And I wouldn't be even surprised if three-stripe life went off favourite. he's kind of workmanlike. So when he beat Hans Gruber at Ferryhill last time, he made a mess of the last and he won by 6 lengths. Like, he was just much the best. He was 2-13. He was fourth in the champion bumper at Cheltenham. And that, to me, is the strongest piece of form on offer here. I don't think it suited him. He was quite keen early. And I just thought it was a little too early in his education. But he beat Outlaw Peter, who has since gone to Paul Nicholls in an Avon bumper. And that form has worked out well. I think he's probably the most battle-hardened and potentially the best of the Elliott pair, even though the betting is the other way around. If you can get
yeah,
six
I think
to one,
you need to be careful. I don't think that 6-1 is going to be around now, because if I look at the others, Hills are 3, Skybet are 3, Ladbrokes are 4. So it might well be that the time by the time this is out, that 6 has gone. So I'm going to ask you a pragmatic question. What price does he still represent value at if you can't get that 6s?
I think he'll go off about 2-1 or 9-4. So anything above that, I think it's value.
Right, you are. Tom, have you had a good look at this one?
I have, and I also like 3 Strike Life. Not with the same confidence as DJ, but I also think he's value. I wouldn't say he's going to be as short as 2-1, maybe 5-2. Obviously, if the 6-1 is about, well, it probably won't be after I get involved anyway, and DJ. But yeah, he was really impressive at Ferry House last time. The run behind Sir Erhard, Kilcrutt and L.A. Bell, as DJ said, in Champion Bumper, is probably the best form on offer. So 3 Strike Life for me as well.
Okay, Envoie Alain, Fakir Duderi, Delta Work, Val Salido, Don Cossack, the lovely Arvika Legionnaire. They've all won the bar1racing.com Drinmore in the past, and the latest renewal of that takes place at 1:35 on Sunday at Ferry House. 2.5 miles the trip, and we've got 10 runners, so each way potential. Wide open, Gabby Nacko, 3-1. 7-2 Lifetime Ambition, 5-1 Beacon Edge, 7 Cape Gentleman, 9-1 Fury Road, 12-1 Bar. Tom, what are your thoughts here?
Well, it's unlike me, but I might be bowing out of a race here, Bruce. I think
that's
my
right.
Only potential bet maybe to lay Gabby Nacko, but even then I'm not overly confident in it. So I'll bow down to greater knowledge of DJ on this one.
Okay, DJ, who should... Can you talk Tom into a wager here?
Oh, this is very, like, there's no, I'd be pretty sure there's no Don Cossack or Envoy Alain or Delta Work or even Bog Warrior in this, to be honest. I think it's really interesting, it's intriguing, and it's really open. I don't think there's a star in there. Lifetime Ambition won the traditionally the hot beginners chase at Down Royal, but I'm going to take a chance on Beacon Edge reversing that form. Beacon Edge was as good as any of these over hurdles. He was really, really good and reached a fairly high level. He was rated 158. And I just think with Beacon Edge, even when he fell at Punchestown in the Stairs hurdle that Classical Dream won, I thought he was still in with a chance when he fell 2 out that day. Now, he wouldn't have beaten Classical Dream. But his jumping at Down Royal just wasn't as slick and as accurate as Lifetime Ambition. But I thought once his chance had gone, Sean Flanagan said, right, let's not make mincemeat of him. Let's just give him a nice experience. He was beaten 2¾ lengths. I think that form could be reversed here. And I think ability-wise, he's probably got the most ability in the race. So a tentative vote for Beacon Edge.
Thanks a lot, DJ. And finally, 2:40 Ferry House Sunday, 2.5 miles, the bar1racing.com, Hatton's Grace Hurdle. The beautiful Honeysuckle, unbeaten in 12, puts that record on the line against 9 rivals. See, quality and quantity. Ireland is where it's at. She's 4-7 best. 7-1 Saudia, 10 Abacadabras, 14 Ronald Pump, and it's 16 Bar. Can we look beyond the beautiful, mighty Honeysuckle, David Jennings?
No. I hope she wins, and I think she will win. You know, you could argue, you know, people who look at this race, you say, my God, how is she not 1-7? How is she 4-7? But, you know, it's a strong enough race. Like, Sally is rated 162. Abacadabras is 158. And then there's loads of horses there. Rated, like, between, you know, 150 and 160. Like, Sire de Berlay is 160 as well. But I think she'd win. She's won it for the last 2 years. She's trying to emulate Apple's Jade. And it should be reasonably straightforward. I think she'll have to work to get the job done. And I think Abacadabras would be the one that will make her work hardest. You know, he was good in the Morgiana last season, first time out. Took the step up to 2.5 miles in a stride when he beat Buzz in the Aintree Hurdle. And it's interesting, Gordon has entered him in the 3-miler at Leperton over Christmas as well. So he obviously thinks that he's a more relaxed horse now. I could see Abacadabras absolutely tanking coming down to second last and Rachel maybe pushing away in Honeysuckle. That's the way I envisage the race panning out. But I think Honeysuckle has got more resolve, more power, more class. And I think Honeysuckle will beat Abacadabra.
Dave, looking ahead to the champion hurdle, Honeysuckle best price 13 to 8. It's 12 bar. At some point, something's going to have to do something decent. Otherwise, she's going to start getting odds on again fairly quickly, isn't she? I mean, is she a bet at 13 to 8?
She's probably the right price. Like, you wouldn't be laying her 5 to 2 or anything like that. And she doesn't obviously deserve to be evens or odds on. I do think, I have a feeling Epatant will be impressive on Saturday. And I think Epatant will be a clear second favourite after Saturday. But whether even, like, 100% Epatant is not beating 100% Honeysuckle. So something needs to go wrong with Honeysuckle for not to win the champion hurdle. So if people want to take the 13 to 8, you can see where they're coming from.
Absolutely. What's your view of Sunday's assignment for Honeysuckle, Tom?
Yeah, it's just a perfect starting place, isn't it, for her? She should record a third victory in the race. I think she'll win. She's priced up accordingly. If there was one that I would be opposing her with, and obviously this bookmakers are offering three places, Ronald Pump might be the one. First-time blinkers. He improved a chunk when he was fitted with a hood. Finished a half-length second to Honeysuckle in this race last year and briefly gave backers of Honeysuckle a fright because he flew home around 14 to 1. He could be the each-way play, but I expect Honeysuckle to win.
And DJ, just very quickly back to you. I mean, isn't it great that we've got nine horses taking on Honeysuckle here? I mean, you know, why can't we have this more? What is the problem where too many races in Britain now are just, you know, you get in a short one against two or three others? It's just depressing. Whereas
well,
in
that's,
Ireland...
that's your answer, I think, Bruce. There's too many of them. I think in Ireland, the best horses are in Ireland at the moment, and there's not as many opportunities to skip, you know, these targets, whereas in England. So I would say too many races in Britain, too many opportunities to skip good horses and big showdowns and like the better horses, like the Honeysuckles. Like if you own, just say, for argument's sake, Abacadabras, okay, obviously he's owned by Gigginstown, but you have the Morgiana or this. Like, you don't really have any other option to where to run Abacadabras, only those two races. So it's a similar kind of thing with a lot of the runners in this race. So the fewer options you have, the more really good races you have. So that's the long and the short of it, I think.
You did very well to talk coherently because you are bound to be watching the TV right now to see your old mate with Jambon absolutely dotting up here. Is anyone else watching this or is it just me? Are you two
good.
Too professional? He's good, isn't he?
No, he's good. He's good.
He was evens. Incredible scenes.
Yeah, sure. Duvan,
so hot off the press there. Jambon has won this assignment at Newbury by a good 8 to 10 lengths. That wraps it up, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your tips and your views. Really enjoyed the show. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Don't forget to bet responsibly and don't forget to tune in on Monday for Maddie's review podcast. We're back next weekend to look ahead to the Tingle Creek. Should be a great race, even though there won't be any Shishkin. Have a great weekend.